our praise and worship together this morning. Father God, we thank you in this place. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. Have your way. Have your way. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus, you are so good. Hallelujah.
Done for me what no man can. Father, where would we be without you? You are our healer, our deliverer, our provider, our peace, our protector. You are everything we need in our lives and much more. We are never alone. For your word says that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You are the God who sees us, the God who knows us, the God who meets us at the point of our need, the God who raises us up when we are totally wiped out, weak and incapable. You renew our strength. When it seems, oh God, that we are dead and lost, you're the God who comes and raises us up back to life. A God of restitution, a God of reconstruction, a God of restoration, a God of renewal, a God who revives. You are everything, oh God, to us. And we sing praises to you. For you are worthy of all praise, worthy to be worshipped and adored. I sing praises to your name, oh God. Praises to your name. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Oh, we sing praises to your name, my God. Praises to your name. Is great and greatly to be praised. Last Sunday you sang a song by Mercy. The Strategist God. Let's hear that song. Saints, when it seems that all is lost, you have a God who sees everything and knows every detail, a God who can maneuver you through, and the enemy cannot take a hold of you. As we sing this song, reflect on the goodness of God.
Any door I know you open, incredible God, incredible God, incredible God. You are an incredible God, incredible. Let's sing all together every time. Anytime I call, you answer. Any door I knock, God. Any door I knock, you open. Incredible God. Incredible God. Incredible God.
He is incredible.
You're an incredible God, incredible God, incredible God.
Extraordinary strategist. Impossibility.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you glad that you're in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You may be seated. This morning, before we go further in our time of worship, thank you so very much, worship team. We have a very special guest with us this morning. Obviously, it's the Lord Jesus. Obviously, it's the Father and the Holy Spirit. But this special guest is called Kamari Ayomide Ogunwemi Jackson. And I'd like to invite Kamari over here now. Come on, baby. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's have the parents and the grandparents come and stand with us. God is good. Amen. I was in my 18th or 19th year when I flew for the first time. But she's flown internationally. Bless you. Bless you. Look very European. Bless you. Hallelujah. Awesome. Okay. Okay. Praise the Lord.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Amen.
How's everyone doing?
We're blessed and highly favored.
I just wanted to share a quick testimony about Kamari and her birth and how it all had happened. And just to shine a light on God to show how great he truly is and how you can really depend on him for anything in this life. So her due date was September 29th, and I signed a basketball contract to go to Minsk in Belarus in July. So I had to report to Minsk August 15th. So when I got to Minsk August 15th, I was in France prior to be with my wife, Ketja, when she was pregnant, and we prayed and prayed over her stomach and prayed to her and said, you know, you have to be there. You have to come out when daddy's there, because I don't want to miss this day, you know. And I've been playing professional basketball for 9 years, and I miss birthdays, I miss Christmas, I miss Thanksgiving, I miss births of children, I miss a lot of events, you know. And this was something that I really, really, really wanted to be there for. But of course, as we know, God's in control, and at the same time, we don't know when she's going to come. So we prayed over her stomach, we prayed and said, Kamari, you're going to wait for daddy. So, I spoke with my team. I spoke with the managers, and they said that they would let me fly to France to be there for the birth. So we waited. Week one, September, nothing. Week two, September. Week three. And I came in on a Sunday. I believe it was the 23rd of September. So she still had not came out yet, and her due date was the 29th. Came in on a Sunday. So she was still in the tummy, which I was happy about. The following night, you know, we started doing the exercises, walking up the stairs. That same night, we went to the hospital.
Wow.
That same night. So the day after I arrived from Minsk, which is a long travel to get there, we went to the hospital. And the following morning at 11:05 a.m., after 2 minutes,
wow,
Kamari was there, and I was able to be there for the birth.
Wow.
I just wanted to share that and just let you know that God is truly in control of our lives, and He always has a plan. And, you know, that really made me, that just touched my heart, because, you know, that was something that I truly wanted to be there for, and I'm happy I could.
Hallelujah. We give God praise.
Yeah.
Awesome.
He answers your heart desire.
Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Please move forward so we all have space. Grandma, a little bit that way. That's good. So there's space for
Well, praise God. Let me have Kamari. Hello, sweetie. My first time holding you.
Hallelujah. I think you're so cute.
Wow.
She likes me. She's looking at me.
Hello. Yeah.
Are you? Oh, I got a smile. Praise
Amen.
All right.
God is faithful.
Yes.
Would you please rise with me? Lord, many try and try and try and try again and cannot have this joy of holding a baby. But you have blessed your son and your daughter, Sydney and Ketchia,
yes,
with this beautiful, beautiful girl, this vessel of honor, this one, oh God, that's going to do great things,
yes,
this one that you breathed into and filled with your words. Today we dedicate her to you.
Yes.
We thank you for Kamari.
Yes, yes.
We thank you,
thank you
for her. And we celebrate her in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
We welcome you, Kamari. Amen. And we celebrate you in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, behold your daughter.
Yes.
And do great and greater things with her. Manifest your name, O God, in her life. I bless you. I bless you over and over again. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, behold this great princess. In Jesus' mighty name.
So daddy can hold, so she, yeah, hold, and then come to me, there.
Give it to her.
So at least, mommy can Hallelujah. Stand close too. Mommy can stand close. It happens. They do what they're doing. So, okay, hold her this way so my hand can reach. You can turn her facing you. It's okay.
Yes.
I just want to be able to touch her. All right, let's continue our prayer. It's all right. Have a song is unto the Lord.
Do you want mommy to hold? In the
name of Jesus.
Okay,
mommy, come close to me.
I bless you. In the name of Jesus.
It's all right. Okay, I'll pray quickly. So let's pray. Stretch your hands and pray for Jesus. Kamari. Ayo, it's okay. Father, we thank you, God, for this wonderful, beautiful gift you have given to the Ogungbemi Jackson family. We thank you, God, for this beautiful princess, for this child of the Most High God. This child was wanted. This child was prayed for. This child was expected. And this child came at the desire of the father's heart. And the mother's heart, and the grandparents. I know for the longest they wanted one. So what they have waited for has come to pass.
Amen.
So Father, we give you praise. We thank you for her life. Today she's committed to the living God. Amen. She came from you, from everlasting, and she's giving back to you. Father, her life will shine brighter than the stars. She will have a great life. The hand of the Lord will be upon you all the days of your life. Every day you will have an encounter with God. You will be a joyful child. You will be a joyous person who brings joy to other people. You will be a peaceful child. You will encounter God. You will see him in the night, and he will visit you in the day. Lord, minister your grace to them. Let this be more open doors of blessings for this family. Bless Gerard and the wife and the parents and the other side of the parents, both grandparents on both sides, and uncles and aunties, those who are not able to be here and those who are here. Bless all those who celebrate this life. Father, cover her with the precious blood of Jesus. Let your Holy Spirit guide her. Let her listen to your voice. Let her be a goodly child. Every spirit of disobedience and iniquity we destroy from her life. She will be the one that praises you and give thanks. Her future is mapped by you, and every step is blessed. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
God.
Amen. Bless you.
Hallelujah.
Bless you.
Amen.
Bless you.
Bless you both.
Bless you, Kamara.
Bless you.
Now you're saying hi.
Bless you, Katya. It's so good to see you. Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. All right, children, start coming. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Well, it's time to
let my man
pray.
It's okay.
And pray for all our children. Now, we did a little baby dedication. If you did not have the opportunity to dedicate your children, you came to the Lord late in life, and your children are still young, they can still be dedicated to the Lord. Amen? All right.
Bless you. Bless you.
Praise the Lord. Well, Grandma said there's coffee cake refreshment after service. All right, stretch your hands. Let's keep on praying. Father, we just thank you for all our beautiful children, all our biological children, spiritual children, extended families, partners all over the world, those hearing the sound of my voice, and those in the house right now, minister your grace to them. Touch every child. From age 120 plus to zero form, those in seed form, those in the womb, those walking the earth, every decade of life, minister grace to every one of us. We are your beloved children, and you watch over us. Keep them healthy, strengthened by the power of your might. Give them a great week at school, at home, at your career places. Touch them. Bad news will not come to them. Only good news. The promotion that comes from God comes to them. In the mighty name of Jesus. Those who have battles in their body, in their homes, in their workplaces, we speak the peace of God over all situations. Peace be still in the name of Jesus. We thank you for testimonies and victories.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 Bless you. See you later, children. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of knowledge. Spirit of understanding. Spirit of counsel. Spirit of might. Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. We welcome you into our lives, to our church, our home, our city, our nation. and our business places. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Make your time in church count. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Our scripture reading this morning is going to be Matthew 6. So you're going to need to catch up. That chapter, add it to the chapters of scriptures that you're familiar with in your life. All scriptures are inspired by the Holy Ghost. So all 66 books of the Bible, they are important in our lives. Amen. Today, this morning, we're going to read Matthew 6. Yeah, 34 verses, so you got to catch up. So let's start reading. If you do everything that this chapter tells you to do, well, I know for sure you'll make it to heaven. That's not all you need to do, but if you just do a little bit of this, you'll be just fine. Say amen. All right, let's read. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thy alms, it's talking about giving, when you give gifts, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 3. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which is in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. So you go ahead. Giving is a requirement. Amen? We don't only give in church, we give outside church. Amen? We give to where there is a need. Say, my God shall supply your need according to his riches in glory. And he uses men and women to bring that good measure, press down, shaking together, running over to your bosom. So you practice giving and giving will come to you. Amen? It's not a one-way traffic. It's two-way. Remember when you give, hand to hand, it's going to somebody and something is coming to you from the hand of the Lord. Say amen. So this is Jesus speaking. So it's not a suggestion. It's a requirement. Somebody say it's a requirement. You say when you do it. It's not if you're going to do it. You're going to do it when you do it. There's a way to do it. Don't broadcast. Just do it. And your Father who sees in secret will bless you openly. Verse 5. And when thou prayest. So prayer is a requirement as a child of God. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You don't just come to church and pray. You must pray in secret. Learn to pray by yourself at home. Amen? But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So praise the Lord. So vain repetition is give me, 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 give me. You know, it can be just one word. It becomes a mantra. You need to, when you are in the spirit, there's a flow because you have rivers built inside you. Amen? So you will never be short of utterance. It ought to flow. So if it's not flowing, get more into the word of God and that river will open. Say amen. Say amen. When we stand to pray, when I stand here to pray, I don't think about what I want to pray. If I open my mouth, the river must flow. If it doesn't flow, then I'm in trouble. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Spirit will give you utterance. Say amen. Say amen. I don't even think about what I'm going to read to you. The Spirit doesn't tell me, I don't read it. Praise the Lord. They said, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth that what things you have need of before you ask him. Verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. How long does he have all this power, the kingdom, and all the things you need is coming from him? He said forever. So there's forever supply from the living God. Say amen. Somebody say, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There is forever supply. Say amen. Somebody say, I tap into the forever supply. Amen. Verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, so fasting is not a suggestion, it's a requirement. Somebody say, fasting is not a suggestion, it's a requirement. Some people are already 80 years old. They never fasted one day in their life, and they are Christians because they were never taught. So praise God, you're still young. You can learn us. Fasting is not a suggestion. You must fast as a child of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, Jesus, when he was physically with us, you did not require. But he said, when I leave, you're going to need to fast. So he's the one telling us how we're going to be victorious here. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. There are all kinds of fasting, so we're not telling you to fast forever. There are all kinds of fasting in the Bible. So when a fast is called, join the fast. Amen. Well, even your doctors, to do some test on you, they tell you to do what? You don't say, I can't do it. You gladly do it. All of a sudden, you don't debate it. You just do it because you want to be well. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But for your spiritual well-being, you need to fast. Verse 16, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. I was speaking to someone, I'm not sure, you know, in the job we do, all kinds of conversation come and questions come. And that one say, I'm fasting, so I don't have to take shower or do anything. And I say, and you are a woman? So I gave them this prescription. The Bible says, don't appear to fast. Clean yourself up. Amen? You're not supposed to be letting people know you're fasting. Just do it. Say amen. You can't say I'm fasting for 1 week and you're stinking the whole place up. So no. Clean up. The Holy Ghost like clean. Say amen. Verse 17, are we still together? But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou may appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So there is a reward that comes with prayer, with giving, with fasting. May you receive all of that in Jesus' name. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust, nor doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through, nor steal. So invest in the things that will not get destroyed. 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. May you have an eye that is full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? May you not have great darkness. May you have light. Somebody say, I receive the light of God. So what's going to get you into darkness is your eyes, how you see, perception. May you see with the eyes of the Lord. Say amen. Don't jump to conclusion when you see certain things. Just say, Lord, give me your eyes to filter this and see clearly. Say amen. Because when you see some things, you make decisions and you judge and you make things, and sometimes what you have seen is not correct, but you thought you saw correctly. And you now judge another person and you get yourself into darkness. May you be in light. May I be in light. Say amen. 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Choose to serve God, and every other thing you need will be added to you. Amen. 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat? Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Verse 26, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Somebody say, I'm better than they. So God will take care of your family. You will not end up on the streets. You will not have any reason to curse God, but only to bless God. Say amen. Say amen. Say, Father, Heavenly Father, take care of me. You know, birds don't have passport office. They go to anywhere they feel like, and they get their food. They don't have grocery stores. They don't build houses. Now, somebody said they have nests, yes, for their babies. But then they don't stay there. They just go wherever they want to. Provision everywhere. If the birds can find the provision, ask the Holy Spirit to direct you to provision. Holy Spirit, direct me to provision. I say, Holy Spirit, direct me to provision. Yes, he has to direct your path. If he directs your path, you'll be at the right place at the right time. You will not miss your moment in life. Say amen. We're already praying. This is 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. They don't have clothing factory. They just have their own clothes from the Lord. 29, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. The Lord provides. Hey, take care of your food, your shelter, your clothing. Say amen. Say, Lord, take care of my shelter. my food, my clothing. Say amen. Well, I believe the scriptures and they work for me. Say amen. It takes care of me. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So, how many of you want God to clothe you? Yeah, you want two kinds of clothing. You want the clothing of the glory of God, and you want the physical clothing. Amen. Praise the Lord. That means even when you go shopping for your clothes, you don't have to pay what other people pay. Say amen. And better yet, he can clothe you without you paying anything. That one is even better. I've encountered that one too. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 31. Somebody just say, me too. Say, me too, Lord. If you're taking care of the birds today, I say, me too. I'm better than the birds category. Me too. Yes, God says, you are the boss. He's giving you dominion over the things of the air, things of the land, and things of the sea. If he gave you the power over them, so who's the boss? Those things or you? So say, me too. Take care of me and my household. And all my extended families and my friends, even some of my enemies. Yes, you got to show mercy sometimes. Because if God didn't have mercy on me and you, we wouldn't be here either. So praise the Lord. But they're at the bottom of the things you're asking God for. Thirty-one, we're almost done. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? This question still goes on in household till today. What are we eating? It still happens. What are we eating? God said, take no thought. We go beyond thought and we actually say it. Say, Lord, just help me. Amen. 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But you seek first. What did he say we should go for? But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. So don't even worry about tomorrow. Say amen. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Tomorrow has been assigned an assignment from God. Take care of the things God has assigned for you. That's not your assignment. Tomorrow has been assigned an assignment. Just say amen. You don't have to understand it. You'll catch up in your spirit later. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My tomorrow is taken care of. Your retirement years are taken care of. Your refirement, right? We don't retire and then we're dead. We are fired up. Say amen. Are taken care of. Somebody say, oh, but my children are not doing well. They won't be able to take care of me. Who told you? Is your children God? God is able. Let God take care of you. God, take care of me. Take care of me, Lord. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. May we not live in evil days. May we live in godly days. That's why we always say God day. Have a God day. I will forever have a God day. Rise with me and let's just pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Just say a big amen. We finish praying. Father, we thank you, God. The words we have read from Matthew 6, from verse 1 to 34, let it be activated in our lives. We receive our portion from you. We now pray for the peace of Jerusalem, peace within her walls and her palaces, prosperity to her palaces. Father, remember your everlasting covenant you made with our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In blessing you, we bless. Bless the nation of Israel. Bless your people, Lord. Surround your people with your shield, the defender of Israel. You're the glory and the defender. Let peace come. Let the war cease. And let your people enjoy their land and live in peace. In the name of Jesus. Father, you promise that out of Abraham shall all nations be blessed. We receive that blessing for the nation of Israel, for Canada, United States of America, Nigeria, Italy, Spain. We receive it for Yugoslavia in the name of Jesus. We receive it for the islands of the seas. And we receive it for all first nations of the earth. And every nation where someone is calling upon the name of the Lord, Savior divine, save them. Give them peace. In the name of Jesus. All nations on the earth right now are going through different kinds of turmoil. The earth is groaning and waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Father, anoint us to become those sons of God that will manifest your glory, that will begin to decree and declare this is what's going to happen in our nation, and so shall it be. We begin to declare the goodness of God, the righteousness of God. For your word says, when the righteous lead, when they rule, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people mourn. May we not mourn, but may we rejoice. Raise up righteous leaders all over the nations of the earth, that there will be revival, that people will turn back to you, O God, in the name of Jesus. Father, be in the service this morning. Be with everyone. Many have come. We thank God for the celebration of a new life for Kamari. We thank you for her dedication and the entire family, Jared and the wife, the parents and everyone. We bless them. In the name of Jesus, we bless everyone who has come. Bless every family, Lord. Those that are sick, we declare that you be healed, be restored, be made whole. That sickness that have taken you hostage, we command that thing to leave your body in the name of Jesus. The sword of the Lord goes in and cut that sickness off. Heal, restore, and be made whole. In the name of Jesus, speedily, we give you praise, O God. And those who lack, provide for them. And those that are troubled at their workplaces, we command those demonic forces that are using people to torment their life, to command them to go in the name of Jesus, that they will have peace at their workplaces. Those who are expecting contracts that needs to go through, contracts be come through and be signed and benefit and profits in the name of Jesus come to the people of God. In the name of Jesus, we call people to come from their homes, come to Glory and Peace Church. Come here, be healed, be saved, and be delivered, and grow and be prosperous. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Be with us as we open our heart to receive your word. Let it come now with power, with grace, with mercy, truth, healing, deliverance, wholeness, and testimonies. In Jesus' mighty name we declare so done. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord.
Once again, we celebrate Kamari, Yomide, Ogunwemi Jackson. Gerald, you are truly blessed of the Lord. Amen. Amen. God is good. Incidentally, the word of the Lord for us this morning is going to be from the book of 1 Samuel. It's a message that I've preached many times before, here and other places around the world. But the Lord kept on pointing my face towards this particular passage for this morning. And I want to explore it again. I want to look at it again. There is something here God wants us to hear. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel. I'm capturing this particular message as Lord, open my womb. Lord, open my womb. You'll find out in a moment why I'm calling it that. Because sometimes the problems that we face in our lives are not just what the devil is doing. Sometimes God is very deliberate because he has a greater agenda on his mind, something he wants to accomplish. There are times when you pray for something and it seems like nothing is happening. But the reality is not that nothing is happening, it's that God is a God of timing. God knows what he can bless you with and how what that blessing is going to accomplish in your life and what it's going to help you do. And sometimes things can come into our lives and they become a hindrance. There are times we've prayed for, it's not that the thing is bad, but if God were to give it to you, it will distract you. And ultimately, the will of God is not for you to drive a Lamborghini. Ultimately, the will of God for you is that you be saved and that you be in his place of glory forever. Amen? We must have that perspective, the God perspective, that God's ultimate will for you is not things, but things he will give to you. He's not denying you anything, but his greatest will for you is that you be saved. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Eternity is too long a place, a time to spend in the wrong place. How many of you will agree with that? But too many people trade their eternal soul and their soul's well-being for stuff. God didn't do this for me. Therefore, I am not going to serve God. I'm going to punish God by not serving him. Like God needs you to serve him. It's for your good that you serve God. God is not quaking in heaven and shaking his leg. Oh, if they reject me, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm not going to be God because they reject me. God is God, whether you like him or don't like him, he's the boss. Whether you accept him or don't accept him, it's for your own good or your own detriment. So the greatest thing of all is for me to know that I have a relationship with God and that nothing is going to bar me from walking with God. The choices that we make in life, what is that about? after you've made that choice, where does that place you in your relationship with God? That's the daily question we need to ask ourselves. I went through a time personally, for we are all people. I mean, if you know, we are all people. Praise God. And it doesn't matter whether you're the pastor or a church member, everybody goes through life. And you must learn about how you are responding to God. When things that will trouble you no longer trouble you, you must ask yourself the question, why am I not being disturbed by this? Is it because I am being hardened in my heart? That's why I'm not being disturbed by it. Or two, doesn't disturb me because it means nothing. Did you understand what I just said? Are you sure? Okay. Let me put it this way. You know that being drunk or doing drugs is wrong. How many of you know that? Okay. So one day you wake up and you're thinking, maybe boozing is not that bad. Take a little wine for your stomach's sake. And you're getting buzzed. It's okay. At least I'm not falling down on the street. You've got a problem. The problem is not in its full manifestation, but you've got a problem because you are toying with something that you should not be toying with. Do you understand that? Okay. On the flip side, you see it. Doesn't mean anything to you. People are drinking around you. It doesn't mean anything to you. You're not tempted. Nothing. That's a different flow. But if you're in the flow of, maybe I can taste some of it. Let me see how it tastes. You've got a problem. Now, every one of us needs to recognize that in life, as you're going through life, you experience different things, different environments. If you're going from here up north by road, you are going to meet different communities. And there's going to be different feelings. Even in your own city, right here in Winnipeg, there are certain things that happen in particular areas that do not happen in other areas. Just one line. On this side of the rails, life is like this. On this side of the rails, life is like that. Because of whatever it is that's operating in the different spots. So as you're traveling in life, you're going to come through different experiences. You're going to come through different spiritual atmospheres. You're going to come through different principalities or municipalities in the realm of the spirit. Are you with me so far? And every area will have its own demonic activity. And as you are going through life, you've got to be very aware of where you are, because there's going to be certain things that are going to come at you because of where you are. And if you are not aware of where your center is in the realm of the spirit, you will begin to flow with whatever it is that is happening because you don't have a spiritual center. Do you understand that? You say, Pastor, what does this have to do with opening the womb and First Samuel? I'm coming. The environment that you are in can affect you, or you can affect the environment that you are in. It is the difference between the thermostat and the thermometer. A thermometer reads the temperature of the place where you are. A thermostat regulates the temperature. Do you get that? Both of them are dealing with a thermal aspect of life. One is just reading the information. The other one is regulating the information. So when you know who you are and you're centered in God, as you're going through life, you're going to experience different things, and you need to determine how it's going to go, what is going to happen, how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, what is going to happen, or else life will happen to you. And you can end up lost. So I went through an experience, and I wasn't too sure what was going on. And I had to cry out to the Lord and say, what's going on? What's happening? I'm losing some sensitivity about this stuff. What's going on? Help me here. Because I don't want to be getting hardened in my heart and walking in the path of death, like the frog that got, because the temperature was getting raised while it's in the water and was getting used to it until it got cooked. You cannot become comfortable with the world. Did you hear that? You cannot get comfortable with the world. You must keep your spiritual sensitivity, because the world is loading us as people with stuff to the extent that now part of the church is accepting immoral activities and saying it is okay. You cannot stay in that kind of a setting, because if you stay there, you will begin to align yourself and accept it and say, well, it is not too bad. And the way the enemy does it is by influencing the language. If I influence the language and change the meaning of words, I make things acceptable. Are you with me so far? How many of you knew that gender was fluid? Huh? Gender. It's fluid. It can be anything. You can choose your gender being as a cat. You're a cat. I'm a cat person. That's my gender. Oh, you think I'm joking? Where does that foolishness come from? God created male and female. Today we dedicated Kamari. Kamari is female. She's not a guy. Oh, but some would say, well, the sex is male and female, but the gender is fluid. It can be male, female, dog, cat, dinosaur, whatever. What craziness is that? Somebody's trying to change the language. Gender has always been male, female. Don't let the world change the language and you accommodate the language and make it become something else. Now you say, Pastor, what does this have to do with 1 Samuel? Come on, let's go. First Samuel, Now there was a certain man of Ramath Tamzophim, of Mount Ephraim. The word Ephraim means double fruit or double ash heap. Double fruit or double ash heap, the word Ephraim, it has two meanings. And the idea is this, that you decide whether the word is going to mean double fruitfulness in your life or double ashes in your life. You make that decision. From the same place, you can have double blessing, or you can have the experience of being burnt out double time. But if you are smart, some say I'm smart, you can take both of them and make it work for you, because ashes can also be used to help a crop experience fruitfulness. So in essence, God is saying to us, you make a decision that whatever it is that you are served in life, that you make it all work together for your good. For God says in His word that He will cause all things to work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. You can make the decision that whether you served lemons or oranges, you're going to make the decision on what you're going to make out of that which you have been served. You're going to come up with lemonade out of that lemons? Cause it to work together for your good? Or are you going to be there crying, having served a lemon? Somebody sold me a lemon car and it's costing me all kinds of money. Or you're going to decide, no. This is not going to cost me. This is going to be a blessing. Hallelujah. A daughter in this house came last week and said, Pastor, I have a vehicle, a new one. I said, praise the Lord. He said, before I came here, I had an accident and with my old car, and it was written off. But surprise, surprise, when they recompensed me, in such a way that was not based on the value of my old car, but made it possible for me to get a new one. Is that true? Oh, yeah. I was just looking the direction. Well, you can say, oh, my car is damaged. But God is saying, I got a new car for you. You praying for a new car? Because this old car is a deadbeat car. I'm going to give you a new car. But how, God, are you going to do it? Kabam! MPIC. That's how I'm going to do it. It's not going to come out of your pocket. I'm going to do it in another way. You are honoring me with your giving. I'm going to do it another way. So the bad became good. I'm not saying go pray, oh God, let a car come hit my car. You might end up with nothing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying God can step into your situation and fix it for your good. Somebody shout hallelujah. So here is this man. He's from Ephraim. And his name was Elkanah. Elkanah means God has possessed, God has created. And he's the son of Jeroham. I'm not going to go to the meanings of these names. They are extraordinary names. The son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, which means grace. And the name of the other was Peninnah, which means jewel. Two wives. But the first wife was Hannah. Hannah Her name means grace. Her name means, because it means great, means to be empowered to do what you cannot do by yourself. A wonderful name. God is my enabler, and he will cause me to do and accomplish what I cannot in my own strength. But the Bible says that Hannah was barren. Penina is that second wife. Penina comes into the scene, and she starts shooting out babies like crazy. So you can see Penina, you know, every time coming, and Penina is saying, hey, I'm going to have a party. And in this party, we're going to guess what baby I'm going to have next. Meanwhile, Hannah has no baby. She's rubbing it in her face. And Penina is having reveal parties, showing her tummy all over the place, taking selfies with her big tummy, showing it on the side and every side. And every time she sees Hannah, she shows. Oh, yeah. This is driving Hannah up the wall. Hannah is upset, but she can do nothing about it. It says, but Hannah had no children. And this man, Elkanah, went up out of his city yearly to worship. He made a decision. He's going to worship and make sacrifices unto the God in Shiloh. And every year he will go there. Every year he'll go there. But when he went there, he went with Hannah and Penina. And the Bible says, that when they went, verse 4, it says, and when time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Penina his wife. Hannah is the first wife. But now, Penina, can you see the fact that Penina is the one that is giving birth? She's jumped from number 2 to number 1. Has that ever happened to you? That Johnny just come, is being productive and doing all kinds of stuff, and when the manager or the owner wants to call, they call on Johnny just come first. And you that was there from the beginning, you're called on last. Everybody seems to be ahead of you. This one just came and started a business. Boom, they're making millions. And you still struggling to make $1,000 a month. And you started first. And you're married to the same husband. Now, how are you going to feel about that? You're going to start feeling like you're cursed. You're cursed by God. And that's what the Jews believed, that if you were barren, it was a sign of a curse. You're not growing. It's a sign of a curse. When things are not happening well for you, people always come up with ideas about why it is not happening. Just to make you feel bad about yourself. Like the man at the beautiful gate. The Bible says Jesus came into the temple and healed everybody. At least twice. Everybody that was sick, everybody that was crippled, everybody that was blind, deaf, lame, paralyzed, all of them cleared out. But the man that was at the beautiful gate, the Bible says he was brought there every day. How is it that he missed the times when everybody got healed? When you got there every day And you come one day and say, where is Peter? Where is James? Where is Daniel that used to sit? Oh, he went home. Went home how? He got healed. Huh? Zechariah, what about Zechariah? No, he got healed too. How did they get healed? A man called Jesus came and healed all of them. And you were born crippled. You must think, oh, my life is a mess. It must be true what everybody's saying about me, that I am cursed and nothing good is ever going to happen in my life. That's what you're going to think, because bad things are happening for you and good things are happening for them. And so it was, Peninnah is now number one, and she gets special portions, and her children, all of them get their portion. Wait a minute. He gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. So all of those people that just came, even Peninnah's children, are now over Hannah. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. That's an interesting one. Gave her a worthy portion. The word here is the word af. And that word has two meanings. The word af means he gave her an angry portion. Because af means anger. But it also means nose. What on earth? Gave her a worthy portion. The Bible says, for he loved Hannah. So even though he gave her an angry portion, a nose portion, he still loved her. But the Bible says, but the Lord had shut up her womb. The Lord shut up her womb. Now, let's go back to the angry and nose portion. What is that? If you know anything about racing horses or even racing vehicles, you would have heard a statement like, this horse won by a nose. Won by a nose. What is the point? The point is, God was saying, as she was given a worthy portion, was saying, you make a decision. Are you going to get angry because of all the other people that got something before you? Or are you going to take the aspect of it and use that anger and recognize that you can win by nose? That no matter how far ahead of you they are, that you are going to win this battle. And I want to say to you today that no matter where everybody else is in their position in life, no matter what is happening with everybody else, that God has a special place for you. And that place is a winning place. That God causes you to be more than a conqueror. That greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. But you must make a decision that you are God connected, and that with God on your side, you are more than every circumstance that's going to come your way, because you're not just going to read the temperature of the room, you're going to regulate the temperature of the room. You're going to make a decision. This is how my life is going to be. They may be counting me out, but this is how my life is going to be. I am blessed and highly favored. I am elevated. The goodness of God is with me. God says he will never leave me nor forsake me. Oh, but you've fallen flat on your face. Yes, I know, but God still says that he will forgive me every sin, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I'm getting back up, and the devil's not going to keep me down. I rise because resurrection life is inside of me. I am determining by faith what I'm going to be today, and it's not going to be what the devil says. I'm going to be what God says I am, in Jesus' mighty name. My womb is going to be opened. Hallelujah. So the Bible tells us they kept on going, but Hannah kept on going too. She didn't stay away. She went to that temple too. She went to Shiloh. And one of those times when she got there, the Bible says that with all the provocation that was happening, for the word of God says in verse 7, and as he did so year by year, going to Shiloh, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Peninnah provoked her. Tried to frustrate her. Reminded her that she was nothing. I'm better than you. I am blessed and highly favored, and you are cursed. The Bible says, therefore she wept and did not eat. Mama talked about fasting today. She came to that place where she said, I've had it. My husband is disrespecting me. Peninnah has become the jewel in his eyes. But my name is Grace. My name is Grace. I'm going to do what I cannot do in my own strength. God is going to do it for me. And the first thing Hannah did when she went back, the Bible says she, when everybody left, she stayed. And she had a conversation with God. So what conversation did she have? The Bible tells us that Eli, the priest in Shiloh, had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Hophni, his name means fighter, a pugilist. He's a guy who wants, you want some of this? And Phinehas, his name means the mouth of a serpent. You know, this is a guy that will curse you out. He will lie, he will do everything, but they were the priest's sons. And they are supposed to take over from Eli, the priest. So yes, Hannah. And Hannah is seated there and she's weeping. The Bible says she was praying from her heart, but her lips were not moving. Or rather, her lips were moving, but no sound coming out of it. And she's saying to God, God, Hophni, Phinehas, they cannot carry the legacy of your name. They are wicked men. Sorry to say. But I'm here. I want you to give me a child. And when you give me that child, I'm going to give that child back to you, so that that child will become the prophet. Your prophet. Give me a child and I'll turn it over to you. What is her idea? She was seeking first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. She's saying, give me the child, but it's not going to be my child, it's going to be your child. So Eli looks at her and says, woman, when will you guys stop drinking and boozing? You come here, if you want to get drunk out there, but don't bring your alcoholism here inside the temple. What are you doing? Have you ever been misunderstood? You trying to do something right and you misunderstood. Well, Hannah was. It's life. You're trying to do the right thing. You're trying to accomplish the right thing. And you are totally misunderstood. Totally read off and written off. She says, I'm asking God for something. I didn't come here drunk. This what you're saying. You're misunderstanding. I'm not a drunk. And that's not what I'm doing at all. I just have a sorrowful spirit. I have not drunk anything. She's not eaten or drunk anything. She was fasting. He said, but I've poured out my soul before the Lord. That's all that's happening here. Verse 16 says, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. I want you to watch these words. Eli said what? Go in peace, and the God of what? Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Whatever it is you've asked God for, let God do it for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And verse 18 says, and she said, remember what Eli said. Let me remind you. Go in peace. The God of Israel grant thee thy petition. That's what he said. Response of Hannah, and she said, let thine handmaid find grace in whose sight? The sight of Eli. God bless you. God grant you the desires of your heart. And she says, let me find favor in your sight. In essence, she was saying, whatever it is that you just said, let it happen for me. Because the favor that comes out of the trueness of what you're speaking out of your mouth to me is what's going to happen to me. So let it not just be words. Let it have life in it for me. Did you know that that's how the blessing of God comes into your life? Yes, God blesses you, but the blessing comes from the mouth of the prophet of God. So the last thing you and I want to do is piss off a man of God. Very graphic, yeah? You don't want to do that. Whether it's in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, the Bible says, in Timothy says, don't let the man of God be upset with you because he's going to report you. If the man of God mentions your name in prayer, let it be positive. Let it never be, God, I don't know what to do with Janet. Janet is a pain to me. She is troubling me. I don't know what to do with Matthew. Don't let that happen, because that is trouble right there. But when a man of God, when you find favor in the heart of the man of God, and a man of God blesses you, oh, suke, something good is about to happen in your life. So the Bible says, she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did what? Eat. And her countenance was no more what? Sad. In other words, she believed that it's going to work. She's been coming every year. She's been giving offerings every year. And nothing had happened until the prophet of God spoke into her life. And now everything changes. And the Bible says in the 19th verse, watch this. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Hidden in those statements is this very fact, that because she was not being productive, there was an estrangement between these two, even though he loved her. But Peninnah is going to give me babies. Why am I wasting time with you? Promotion, they give to somebody else. Why am I wasting time with you? Why am I wasting time with you? Why am I wasting time with you? But this time, her countenance changed. Are you listening? Focus, focus. That tells me something. That because of her circumstance, she's been wearing a long face for the longest time. But something changed. When her countenance changed, she became attractive. An angry face does not pull people towards you. A smiley face will bring people closer to you. Did you hear what I just said? If you're going to walk in life with an angry face, be certain that you're going to push people away. Have a smiley face, a warm face, and what you want will come to you. Don't let the world make you something that will distract you or detract the blessing from your life. Abraham did it. Isaac did it. They were afraid of the Philistines or the Egyptians and lied and said their wives were their sisters. Guess what? No matter what the promise of God is, if you're saying that your wife is your sister, well, you're not going to mate, and therefore the promise will not come to pass. Because pregnancy is not by osmosis. Hello? Something's got to happen for it to happen. So Abraham put a delay on when Sarah is going to get pregnant. Isaac put a delay on when his wife is going to be pregnant because of their lies, because of fear, because they allowed the circumstance, their interpretation of the circumstance around them to determine the decisions that they made. Don't delay the opening of your womb by allowing the world determine how you should feel, how you should act, what you should say, when you should say it, when you should not. No, be true to yourself in God. Have a smile. The devil will not know what you're smiling and are happy about. He's confused. Hallelujah. She gets pregnant, and she had a son, and called the name of that son Samuel. Samuel. His name is God. Samuel. What happened here? You see, when you are in a tight spot and the enemy seems to be running around you, let God show up for you. Samuel was a manifestation of God's power in the life of Hannah. She raised this child. She weaned this child. In fact, she did not go back to Shiloh until she had weaned the child. Because you must not give to God what is going to be a problem. Can you imagine bringing the child, the little baby, few months old, and handing it over to Eli? What's Eli going to do with the baby? No, she weaned the child. And having weaned the child, handed the child over and said, "This is what I prayed for. This is him. Raise him up as a priest." Watch this. Eli had two sons that went rotten. And she's entrusting her baby to the same guy. Is he going to be messed up too? That's not my worry. I'm giving this child to God, not to Eli. So God, this is your child. Just like the baby was given to the Lord today. Lord, this is your child. This is not me. I can't raise this baby. You raise this baby. I'm just going to be here and I'm going to follow your direction. And that's exactly what happened. Because when Samuel grew up and God was speaking to him, he did not know what God, that it was God. He kept on running to Eli. "Did you call me? Did you call me? Did you call me?" Eli says, "Tell him next time he hears his name called, he should say, 'Speak, Lord, thy servant hear it.'" Now, you think now that this woman has given birth to a baby, babies will start popping out. Not so. Remember what I said earlier? The blessing is in the mouth of the prophet. Okay. She prayed, the prophet agreed with her, she got her result. And now, let me wrap with this. The word of God tells us in the second chapter, verse 19 through 21. Every year she will come with a brand new coat for Samuel. And verse 19 says, "Moreover, his mother made him a little coat." My screen is off. "Made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." Verse 20. "And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, 'The Lord give thee seed of this woman. The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord.'" Why did he say that? Because every time they came, she had no babies. The only child she had, she had given to God. Now she was back to square one. And what was going to turn it around? The man of God, Elkanah, blesses her. "The Lord give this seed of this woman from the loan which is lent to the Lord." And they went unto their own home. In 21, and the Lord, what? Visited Hannah. The Lord did what? Visited Hannah. So that she, what? Conceived. So, are you ready? Rise with me. Hallelujah. Her womb had been shut by the Lord. But the word of God says that God visited her. This was not the doing of a man. God visited her. And she conceived. Put your hand in your tummy, male or female. and say, Lord, visit me and open my womb. Visit me and give me an open heaven. Visit me and turn my story around. Visit me and change the trajectory of my life. Visit me and manifest your glory in me and through me forever. In Jesus' mighty name, I declare I am truly blessed and highly favored, doubly fruitful. Blessed be your holy name. For all my troubles, I receive your double blessing. This very moment, right now, in Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. The Bible says she bore 3 sons and what? 2 daughters. What is 3 and 2? 5. What is the number of grace? 5. Praise God. Now she answered her name. Hallelujah. I said, now she answered her name. Say with me, now I will answer the amazing name that God has designed and assigned to me. Amen. Do you know God has a special name for you? God has a special name that He calls you. And it is a good name. It is the name of your destiny. Amen. Some of you have amazing, wonderful names. Like I have a wonderful name. It's called Ephesino. That means wealth has come. Hallelujah. I say I answer my name. I have a wonderful name called Michael. Michael is an archangel, is a warrior. Hallelujah. And just like Samuel, Michael also stands like the one who stands for God. I answer my name. What's your name? What's your name? What's your name? If your name is not good, fire that name. Fire it. Praise the Lord. Get a new name that means something. Praise the Lord. God is good. I celebrate the goodness of God in your life. Is there anyone here this morning that needs to give their lives over to God and say, God, I want to turn around in my life. I want to be saved. If you're here this morning and you need to make a deal with God this morning to ask Him to come reign supremely in your life, raise your hand. I would love to pray with you. Anybody like that? Praise the Lord. Well, it's good that everyone here has given their lives to the Lord. And we give God praise for that. Amen. God is good. Well, this March, we're going to be doing 2 major crusades. In a nation that needs to hear the gospel. You're saved, but there are people that need to get saved. Amen? On the 2nd or so, we're going to have a crusade. That one is going to be virtual from here. And 20 communities are going to be pulled together to one spot. And we're going to have a crusade. And thousands are going to come to salvation. Amen? While you're still sleeping, most of you are still sleeping, we will be doing the crusade very early in the morning. But at the end of the month of March, we're going to be live in person in another nation where the gospel is being resisted, but God cannot be stopped. That the first one, we need funding to get Bibles, just Bibles. A Bible costs $7. And we want to give hundreds of Bibles to people, to families. Praise the Lord. And we'll need your support in bringing that about. The second one, where we have to be there in live, we're going to need transportation plus Bibles. We believe in God to give us at least $20,000 for that second one in April. I want you to pray and believe God with me that those funds will come in. Now, when I say 20,000, there are people who are doing crusades the size that we're going to be doing, 200,000 plus people, and they are paying $300,000 for one crusade. So when I say 20,000, I'm just trusting that God will help us have that, and we can get this done, and we'll bring a report back of all the lives that have been transformed. The first live one that we did, we had about 14, 15,000 people, salvation, and about 10,000, about 9,000 healings and miracles and deliverances that took place. People healed of all kinds of diseases. Isn't God awesome? Well, there are people who are willing to give their lives to God. And when they give their lives to God, it is at the threat of their lives. For them to say, I give my life to Jesus Christ, means families are going to reject them. They're going to say, you're no longer part of this family. And in fact, they get killed. But they are willing, when they hear the gospel of the love of God, are willing to say, it doesn't matter. I give my life to Jesus Christ. Some of them we have removed from slavery. We gave and we brought them out of the place where they were enslaved because of whatever it is that happened in their lives. But today, they are out of that place of enslavement. They have their own businesses and they keep on worshiping God. Amen. So I want to encourage you to believe God with me that we'll be able to accomplish these things. And there's so many crusades that we're doing that we don't even mention to you. Amen? Praise the Lord. And I want to take this time to thank God for one of the recent crusades that we had. I'm not going to mention where, but we went to a particular area of our province. Do you know, I didn't ask you for a dime here, did I? No. Know why? Our flights were paid for. Our housing was paid for. The grounds were paid for. The only thing I paid for was some advertisement on radio. But everything else was taken care of by community. The reason I will not mention it is because people will freak out if they know, huh? Our community paid? Yeah. God, this deserves a good clap offering unto the Lord. We went into a community and the chief and members of his board or council came to the meetings, received the word of God. You are making an impact around the world. We're not making noise, but just letting you know, God is using you and I to reach people around the world, locally and globally. Amen? So when we say, give unto the Lord, there's a reason. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you for being here today. Well, at this time, I'll call on Mama to come. While she's coming, let's take this opportunity to honor God with our giving. Come and honor God with your tithe and your offerings. And if you do not have the elements of communion, just raise your hand and one of the ushers will come by you and give you an offering, or rather an element of communion. Hallelujah. Am I still waiting for anyone to give their offering? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. This is the body of the Lord. He says, whenever it is that we come together and we share in communion, we should do so in remembrance of Him. As we remember the Lord, let us remember the fact that He is a God who's loved us with an everlasting love. But more than the remembrance that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about when He gave of His body, He sees you and I as particular members of His body. Some people might be the pinky. Some people may be the humerus. Some people may be the scapula or tibula. You are part of His body. Some people are the flesh part. Some people are the muscle part. Some people are the nervous system. Some people are whatever. But this is a fact. The Word of God says that when you present yourself, and I present myself, and we present ourselves, the full image of who Jesus Christ is put back together. Every member remembered, rejoined. And that's how the world will see the manifestation of who Jesus is. As you take off this body and you eat, it is also a commitment in saying, you know what, I want to be part of the body of Christ. I want to join myself with you, my brother, with you, my sister, so that when people look at us as a unit, they see all that Jesus is. So take of this body, and may it be a testimony of your commitment to the Lord. Take and eat. Hallelujah.
I forgot to turn my mic on. So somebody say, my womb is open.
My womb is open.
Heaven's blessing.
Heaven's blessing.
Is operating.
Is operating.
In my life.
In my life.
Through my life.
Through my life.
Flowing in me.
Flowing in me.
Out of me.
Out of me.
To bless others.
To bless others.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Take and drink.
Open your hands like a funnel. I call you blessed.
Amen.
May this Monday be a Monday of supernatural blessings in your life.
Amen.
And when you step into Tuesday, may your eyes be open to see wonderful opportunities.
Amen.
On Wednesday, may the strength and the ability of God flow in you and through you.
Amen.
To accomplish vision.
Amen.
On Thursday, May you experience the awesomeness of the glory of God like you've never experienced this like before.
Amen.
On Friday, may the wealth and the riches of God's goodness overflow you and cause you to flourish on your right and on your left.
Amen.
On Saturday, may you march forward with great strength.
Amen.
And great abilities.
Amen.
And on Sunday, may you experience more resurrection life and elevation.
Amen.
To the glory of the God our Father.
Yes.
God the Son.
Amen.
God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, be blessed.
Amen.
And be highly favored.
Amen.
Of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God bless you and be
Amen.
Greatly enriched. Well, let me say a quick hello to those first online
sorry.
And those of you that are here for the first time. I'm going to come to you.